Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We're asking, who is the best one-loss team in the NFL? No undefeated teams anymore. Cardinals lost. The Packers, Cardinals, Rams, or Cowboys? Dallas at least proved that they can be legit contenders. I mean, they've been doing it all year. Win last night against the Vikings, even though they didn't have Dak Prescott. Another team yesterday, the Saints, lost their quarterback, Jameis Winston. Can they still be contenders without him? Let's rewind to what Chris Canty said in response to Keyshawn Johnson last week on Canty and Golic Jr. And the topic was whether or not the Saints can be a top three team, which according to Key, they can be, in the NFC. Here's Chris Canty.
Like, how the hell are they going to be a top three seed and we don't think they can beat any of those teams? Like, I understand that the Saints took it to the Green Bay Packers early on in week one, but let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers and that team were still in preseason mode. Like, that's not where they are right now. So I don't know if I can buy into Keyshawn's take that the Saints all of a sudden are going to start clicking on all cylinders and we're going to talk about them as being a true title contender. Like, I just think there are levels to this, and it's clear that they're not on the level with the top three teams that we have in the NFC, which are the Cardinals, the Cowboys, and the Buccaneers.
There are levels to this. There are certainly levels to it, Christopher Canty of Canty and Golic. There are levels to this. And the levels is, right now, I don't want to do an ESPN on ESPN crime, but
you're about to.
My good ex-teammate in Christopher Canty, this is why I tell you, you must listen to me before you do your hot takes. You have to listen, okay? You said they haven't beaten anybody. Well, they just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then you say that the Green Bay Packers were in preseason mode. Well, what the hell was Tampa Bay in midseason form? I mean, like, there are levels to this. Don't look at Jameis Winston and form an opinion based on that prior to his injury on what this team could potentially be. You know football, Chris. Don't get caught up in sports talk radio. Don't get caught up in that. Use the brains that got you to be a Super Bowl champion. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Remember, Sean Payton is a really good coach, and Dennis Allen is a really good defensive coordinator. Just use your mind, young man. Don't get caught up in the narrative about Jameis Winston. Now, moving forward, can Trevor Siemian get the job done? Maybe. But if not, there's a guy named Cam Newton who I think they will kick the tires on to move things forward. And I still think they are a 2-3 seed in the conference because they have very elite football players. And so there's my ESPN on ESPN crime.
I like the ether music too, Alan Yates. Well done on that. Key, if they get Cam Newton, what teams do you see them finishing ahead of in the conference?
Well, they'll be tied with the Buccaneers eventually, right? It'll probably be them and the Bucs. And then they'll be fighting for that 2-3 seed because you figure Arizona, the Rams, Green Bay, they'll all be together. Now, they're only one game behind. With the tiebreaker ahead on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Green Bay Packers. So they've already eliminated the tiebreaker so far. They will see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers one more time. But when you look at it, you say, well, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, that's the same thing with a better runner. The one thing that Jameis Winston brought to the New Orleans Saints that Drew Brees couldn't do was push the ball down the field, deep balls. Cam Newton can throw it. He can throw it vertical. But running the football, he adds an extra element. Imagine if that run that Jameis got hurt on was Cam Newton. The defender wouldn't have been that close to him, because Cam would have been able to get out of there and get to the sideline. Jameis got gravy boots. That's why the guy was able to catch up to him. But all I'm saying is that this team is a really good football team.
So
coached extremely well.
This is how I've learned how to kind of decode Key's saying sometimes, because I actually think he's right as it relates to where they could end up being seated. But see, I don't take that comment, Key, and say, hey, they're the third best team in the NFC, or second best team. That's where they end up being seated when it comes to the playoffs, with the way they can hit it, especially if they get Cam. But I still think there are a lot of teams better than the Saints, ultimately, with a higher ceiling offensively.
The Saints have a defense. They have a head coach. And, by the way, not because he's your nephew, Key, but Michael Thomas.
Yes, because he is.
Michael Thomas, like, let's not – 2 years ago, he was the best receiver in the game. The best overall receiver in the game.
He's still going to be one of the best when he comes
back
healthy.
So when you get a weapon like that back and you've been missing it the whole time, that's such a big part of your offense. The reason receivers get paid, quarterbacks, left tackles, defensive ends, and receivers and corners get paid because those are the elite performing positions. When you take that guy off your team, it completely changes the offense. And Kamara's been doing great, and the defense has been doing great, but that should make them better. But, Key, I say all that to still ask the question. In terms of who the best teams are, if someone said, where are the Saints? I would say fifth to sixth in the NFC because I like the Rams.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Packers, the Bucks, the Cowboys.
Cardinals,
and then probably the Saints, right?
Yeah.
Why do you say third seed? That's what I think people want to know.
Because when you win the division, and you're probably going to be up there, you got to win the division.
Right.
They're probably going – look, the Buccaneers are ahead of them because the Buccaneers play one more game than them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't look at the playoff standings at – the Buccaneers play one more game than them.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bucs are on a bye. The Saints will catch up to them because they'll play the game. So now they'll both be playing 8 games versus 7 games. So you look at, from that standpoint, you win the division. You're going to finish either 1 of 4 if you win the division. I got them winning their division. I got them winning the division.
Well, they have stacked up well against the Bucs in the regular season. They're 3-0 now.
Think about it. They're one game behind the Arizona Cardinals, the Dallas Cowboys. They're one game behind
them. But really, the team to look at is the Bucs because the quickest way for them, as you said, Key, to be a top seed, a top three seed, is to win the division. They are now – we have the numbers on the screen on ESPN2 right now. They're 1-3 against the Bucs, but the one loss was in the playoffs, right? So I don't know about when it matters most.
One loss was in the playoffs.
I'll take Brady, but they're – they're 3-0 in the
team.
Right, they're 3-0 in the regular season against the Bucs now.
They lost in the playoffs. It's hard to beat a team 3 times. That we all know that played.
Yeah.
But they played the New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees was at the end and his had barbecue ribs. Michael Thomas wasn't himself. He had 2 bad ankles, and Alvin Kamara had missed some time because of COVID situation. So when you start to look at that, you're like, okay, I see how they took it to him, and it made sense. But when I'm talking about just this year alone, I knew that the New Orleans Saints was going to give Brady and the Bucs hell in New Orleans. That's why I said what I said. When you look at it saying, well, how can they finish 2 or 3? Well, because they're a good football team, and they're probably and they could win their division.
Right, that's what it hinges
on. If they win the division, they're going to have a pretty good record,
which is
going to put them in a position – to finish high in the seedings.
I don't see them winning their division or finishing with a high seed if it's under Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill. I think Cam is the person that could take them there because of how Peyton can unlock him in that offense. I really think he's the missing key for them to be that team that you're describing. Do you think they can get there with Trevor Siemian?
They were 4-1 with Taysom Hill last year.
Yeah, Taysom Hill can play.
They were 4-1
I hear you.
With him last year.
And Sean Payton
when he comes back, I think they'll know what to do with him. But Cam Newton, if you slide him in there, give him 2 weeks or whatever the case is to get up to speed, and Sean's smart enough to give him the things that he needs that he can be successful in doing, then I think that they're right there.
Higher ceiling for the Saints with Cam Newton or with Taysom Hill?
I probably would do it with Cam Newton because if you are using Taysom Hill in the role that he is, when you put him in the lineup, you take him out of the lineup. Then by having the quarterback, having him as your full-time quarterback, he doesn't get to do all the other things that you paid him to do.
Yeah.
When you insert him into the lineup with a Cam Newton, imagine how strong that could be. As you look at the schedule moving forward, they got the Falcons, they go to the Titans, they got the Eagles, the Bills, the Cowboys, they get the Jets, the Bucks, the Dolphins, the Panthers, and the Falcons to lead with. I'll play win-lose. They're going to beat the Falcons. I'll toss it up. I'd probably say that they lose to the Titans. They beat the I'll give them three straight wins. I'm gonna give them the Falcons, the Titans, and the Eagles, and then I'm gonna have them lose to the Bills. I'm gonna have them beat the Cowboys, beat the Jets, lose to the Bucks, beat the Dolphins, beat the Panthers, beat the Falcons. If you do those numbers, that puts them right in
two
the position.
Losses, two more losses, yeah.
That puts them right in the position able to be the second or the third
Let's say this. I think with Trevor Siemian, if they need two more weeks with him, if they brought Cam in right away, and he could go 1-1. Let's say they lose to the Titans.
Yes,
they go,
give them
they
that.
Go 1-1. That's holding down the fort. And then Teddy Bridgewater was 5-0 with this team. Bridgewater's a nice quarterback. He's not a 5-0 type quarterback, but he's a nice quarterback. Because Sean Payton, to Key's point, if you give him competency under center, he'll know what to do with it, and they got a defense. Look, anywhere from 3 to 6, Key, I agree. It's 3 is possible, maybe a little bit of a reach. They have to win the division.
I think 6
is more likely, but somewhere in the top half dozen in the NFC. Tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. We will continue this conversation.
Max.
Yo.
There are levels to this.
There are levels to this.
There's levels to this.
As Meek Mill said. Plus, why Key thinks this team might be better. I don't know why you're playing that horn. By the way, Jay-Z won that Ether takeover battle, too. This team might be better without their current starter. You're just showing. That horn says, I'm under a certain age. That's all that says. That's next on ESPN Radio. See, he did it again. The ESPN
there
app and ESPN
levels.
2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2, are presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN football analyst Dan Orlovsky joins us, giving Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We were talking in the last segment.
Hold on. First of all, I got to say two things. You know me, I come to take shots. Jay, your dancing's terrible.
Well, I don't.
Keyshawn, what size the t-shirt that is?
What's wrong with my t-shirt?
It's tight.
Oh, no, it's just how probably how I'm sitting and stuff. And it's T-shirt, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
First of all, Dan, you can't show up in whatever that is you're wearing and start taking shots
wearing?
With blue buttons on the white shirt.
Haircut.
I'm actually not wearing a tie because of the blue button.
By the way, he's got it monogrammed on the cuff just in case he forgets whose shirt it is. This is me, everybody.
I ain't get a damn haircut for crying out loud.
I got a haircut on Friday, Key.
No. You need to get your money back, dog. Seriously.
I like the shots being thrown, Dan. Welcome to the show.
As a kid, they used to sell those suits on 14th Street. Off the mannequins on 14th Street.
Damn. Hey, Max, that a way to take up for me and Jay. Even though Dan was talking to me and Jay, that a way to take up for your coworker.
That's right. We're a team, kid.
Yeah, I got your back. See, look at that, boy. The knives are coming from everywhere. You don't know where. Stupid, even on your own team. So we're talking about the Saints.
Yeah.
Without Jameis Winston. How do you see things playing out for New Orleans without Jameis now, Dan?
Well, I think, first of all, going back to yesterday, Sean Payton made two brilliant play calls. You know, mm-hmm. And we're watching how good of a coach Sean Payton was because, you know, start of this year, this is his first season ever coaching without Drew Brees as a head coach. So what was he going to be like or who was he going to be? And it's been uber impressive. The 4th-and-1 play call to Kamara on the goal line is impressive. And then the reverse is perfect play call timing, you know, and just
big time.
So impressive by Sean Payton. The defense is right now Tom Brady's kryptonite, so to speak, because they'll put hands all over you as a defense and play physical. You know, without Sean Payton, it is going to be interesting. Without Jameis Winston, because Jameis Winston had been playing solid football. Not lights out, but solid football. Simeon
Mistake
comes
free.
In and plays solid football. And I think we're starting to see the brilliance of Sean Payton really play itself
out. Taysom Hill, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Brees at the end.
Here's what I'd say, Dan. Yeah. Here's my – just hear me out on this one. There's a guy out there who just got vaccinated – who played about 9 years in that division, who's chilling in Atlanta, so it's a quick flight. His name is Cam Damn Newton. And he gives them an opportunity to take a look now with the Jameis injury as a guy who they've seen, who's dominated that division for 8-9 years, that Sean Payton could say to himself, you let Trevor Siemian carry this for the next couple games while you get Cam up to speed and ready to go. Michael Thomas is coming back. You got a whole arsenal. Now you got a guy that could do what Drew Brees couldn't do, what Jameis could do, that vertical stretch game that was missing for years. Cam can still do that. He also can run the football. You don't take Taysom Hill out of the lineup by putting him in at quarterback. Now you got two big studs. You just brought back Ingram and Kamara in the running game. Imagine if they decided to go that route, because one thing that Sean does do well is he identifies talent that people say, I don't really want that anymore, and then he gets the most out of it. I wouldn't be shocked if Cam Newton is already on the plane to go visit the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, that would be a little bit surprising to me still, Key, because I get your point of, well, you allow Taysom Hill to stay in that role if you get a Cam Newton, but you've been grooming Taysom Hill for many – 2 months ago they were in a quarterback battle. You've been grooming him for the opportunity – How much do you believe that Cam Newton is going to come in and within a couple weeks pick up this offense in comparison to a guy like Taysom Hill who's been there for years, in comparison to a guy like Trevor Siemian that might – like I would actually think that they'd lean – if they're going to go make a move, I would be more interested in are they going to call Drew, you know, or a guy like Phillip Rivers.
Well, Drew already turned it down.
What about Key's point about – he's like, when you play a divisional rival twice a year every year and you have to prepare for them because you know what you're going to get every year, you have to be prepared for 8-9 years. Cam is familiar with what trying to do, right? And he is a kind of, if you just like puffed up Taysom Hill, you got Cam Newton, a similar player, but Cam is a better quarterback.
So is the conversation that we think Cam Newton's going to be a better player for them in 4 weeks than Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
I don't see that
I see it. The reason I see it, Dan, is because much like you said with Sean, I know Sean, so yeah. I kind of know what he would do. He's not going to ask him to do what Drew Brees did. What he's going to ask him to do is do what Jameis Winston was able to do and bring that playbook down in that short period of time to give him and put him in the best situation to succeed. I understand what you're saying about Taysom Hill. The problem that you have with that is you've got to have something behind Taysom Hill. Is Trevor Siemian that something? Because remember, Trevor Siemian was the third guy. He wasn't even the second guy.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point because right now the Saints look like they got a chance to make the playoffs too. So it's I get where you're coming from. This isn't a team that's, you know, 2-5, so to speak, and now, you know, we don't really have a future. You know, they're a good football team that just beat up on the defending Super Bowl champion. So I get your point. I just don't know if Sean's going to go, okay, we think that we can get Cam Newton up to speed.
Bridgewater went 5-0. I mean, he'd been there the year before, but he went 5-0 with that team.
And I just think Sean, again, because this team is so good defensively, so good on the offensive line, Michael Thomas coming back, I believe Sean thinks that they're good enough to just get a quarterback to play good football rather than we need a quarterback to go play great football. And I think he thinks that he can get that out of Taysom Hill, Trevor Siemian, or Ian Book, their rookie out of Notre Dame, more so than we got to go get Cam Newton and shove him in here and, you know, kind of expedite the learning process of a playbook because in 5 weeks he might have to play.
Higher ceiling, Trevor Siemian, Taysom Hill, or the likes of Cam Newton for the Saints? What increases their ceiling?
That's a good point, Dan, because while you're thinking about that, it's not just the immediate future. Maybe you could make the argument, look, it's 6-1, half dozen the other, because Cam needs to get up to speed a little more than those guys. But then you want to make the playoffs and make a run. Now it's playoff time. Cam's been in there 17-week season. He's been in there for 10 weeks.
Right.
See, absorbing everything. Now you hit the playoffs and you have Cam Newton and Michael Thomas and the O-line and the defense.
But I'm going to try to talk you into this one, Dan, in by saying that you've been in this league for a long time and you've covered this thing in the NFL and college football. The one thing that I can say about Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton is the waiver wire and transactions, they're not immune to them at all.
Yeah.
They're always adding pieces. Just look and think about what they just did. They went and got Ingram from the Houston Texans just to strengthen the running game when they decided Latavian Murray wasn't good enough for them.
Yeah, I would say, I think it's a good question, Jay. In 10 weeks from now, it's probably Cam Newton. If Cam Newton can get 60%, 70% of this playbook down and running it well, yeah, they probably have a higher ceiling with Cam Newton and Taysom in his role. But I think we're minimizing that challenge. The NFL offenses are a doozy, man. And so If they're confident that Cam can come in and absorb that in season, you know, in season is different than off out of season. In season, then I think probably a better option, yeah.
Let me ask you about another offense, because this morning a lot of people are waking up, and I'm sure that people in Indy are mad at Carson Wentz.
I am.
But should they be even more mad at Frank Reich? Because some of his plays were very, very questionable.
Yeah, I thought they abandoned the run.
Yeah.
I thought they abandoned run, specifically late in the football game. I can't kill Frank for that. Frank is aggressive. He's ultra aggressive. They had that 14-0 lead because they're ultra aggressive. That's who Frank is. But I do believe they got away from Jonathan Taylor. The first interception is god-awful. I've actually seen conversation on the internet that it was the smart play because the safety ends the game. I don't see it that way because just the decision is bad. The second interception is just as bad. For much of this season, Carson Wentz has looked like 2017, 2018, that back end 2019 Carson Wentz. Like, wow, he's playing really good football, which is what I expected.
Back end was no good, but go ahead.
What?
Back end of 19 was no good, but go ahead.
Anyway.
hey, Dan.
Hold on, Kate. I think the last 2 minutes, he looks like 2020 Carson Wentz. The last 2 minutes.
Dan, but what the fact is, I agree, he's looked good, solid, and progressing through the season. Not amazing, but like, hey.
Yeah, pretty darn
and
good
you,
football.
And you know what he's capable of. That's always in the back of your mind. So, whoa, if he's fundamentally sound and everything, he's capable of big things. Season on the line, because you're about to get swept in the season series if you lose the game.
The second interception is putting the shovel in the ground to dig the grave.
Whoa, like season on the line. And my my issue is what I hear out of Philly, as I've told you before, DeFilippo was bad cop. Reich was good cop. I have not heard Carson Wentz really take accountability post-game. It's always like, well, that's the way we play. Well, that's going to happen sometimes with the way we play, as though he's Patrick Mahomes and he's earned the right to freestyle because it always comes out so good. It's not what he is, and I don't know. Do you hear a guy taking accountability?
Yeah, no, because, well, they've played so good over the last month. I don't think there's been moments of accountability necessary. I kind of felt that in the beginning of the season. He was very, I got to play better. I did not hear his post-game conference or conversation afterwards yesterday. But to your point, this second interception is putting the shovel in the ground to dig the grave for this season. And like first and 10, if he throws that check down, that tailback runs to New York. I mean, he is that wide tailback open. Legit might get into field goal range. And for a guy that, if you go rewatch that game yesterday, he made so many good decisions in the first three quarters of check down, ball out completion, check down, ball out completion, kind of playing that boring style of football. And then the last 2 minutes, he just tried to become a superhero.
Why in the last 2 minutes? I was going to ask you that, Dan. In the last 2 minutes, well, first of all, backed up in your own end zone, that's not playing superhero. That's panicking Paul and being stupid with the football.
Right.
What happens in that position at that moment at the quarter? What are you looking at? Like, what do you see that makes you panic to the point where you're like, oh, my God, they're coming and I got to get rid of the ball? And you make that throw after you thought about spiking it in the ground.
Yeah, I don't think it's a panic key. I think it's the put on the Superman cape. And I've talked about that with Carson Wentz for 4 years now. When he plays Clark Kent football, he's at its best. Mm. He's at his best. And then there's moments where you got to play Superman. And he, you know, like there's been moments in his career where he does. Yesterday in that moment, you guys remember the playoff game against Seattle? Where he gets hurt, it's a screen pass. Yeah. And instead of grounding the football, which, you know, you've seen him do, he tries to scramble, hold it, and make a play. And I think that's it, Key, is he is so
never learned old. To slide. He just never learned to slide, this dude. So,
he's
like,
so, you know, yesterday was the perfect example of why I've been a Carson Wentz guy for so long, is he could take you on so many highs. The 3rd and 16 to Michael Pittman, where he, you know, and then, you know, there's moments of lows, and it's just, you know, he's drunk on himself, so to speak. He's drunk.
Fell in
on
love with a player. Never fall in love with a quarterback, Dan.
Yeah.
See, they'll just break your heart. See that?
Yeah, man. I got people in my neighborhood trick or treating yesterday coming up to me. How about Carson Wentz? I'm like, what the fudge, guys? Leave me alone.
Well, you could see what there was to like, especially early on, but at a certain point, he's sixth year in the league. That is the great Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN football analyst extraordinaire. Thank you, Dan.
Good to be with
Thanks,
you.
Thanks,
go see the barber and get your money back.
Get a bigger shirt.
Key observations for you. Take it away.
Number one.
I think when you think about number one, we put a lot of hot sauce on the Cincinnati Bengals after watching them just take care of business against the Baltimore Ravens and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow going nuts. And then all of a sudden, we like, oh, they going to win the division. Oh, this is the team. Joe Burrow going to the Hall of Fame next week. And then guess what they do in MetLife? Quack, quack, quack. No, not so much anymore. Now, all of a sudden, they started looking like the bundles again. And I know it's only one loss to a New York Jet team that upset the Tennessee Titans. And now the Cincinnati Bengals are both on that mantle at Jets' place. So we got to slow things down. Like I always say, just take your time. Let it develop. Don't start putting people in Canton too soon.
Number two.
Ooh, y'all still trying to bury Big Ben Roethlisberger, I see. He just continues to keep winning football games along with Mike Tomlin. The moment that they decided to put him in the grave and put the dirt on top of him, what does he do? He takes care of business in Cleveland against a team that we thought had their number based on what we saw last year. But clearly, Ben Roethlisberger can play, and that defense is lights out once again for Mike Tomlin, taking care of business, only allowing the Browns 10 points. So that will certainly raise the level of defense statistics for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, last three games, he's 3-0. What else can you say? I mean, that's just what it is. Dude balling.
Number three.
Bill Belichick. Number three. Bill Belichick and his so-called disciples and assistant coaches and the coaching tree, it's like he grew the tree and all the leaves at the top die except his. And, the other, and he just keeps growing them and growing them and growing them because none of them seem to be able to coach in the National Football League. Bill O'Brien was the only one that started in the right direction till he got smart and wanted to be a general manager, which basically cost him his job in Houston. But when you look at the Eric Mangini's and Romeo Crennel, now all of a sudden Brian Flores, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, and Joe Judge. Just imagine what that winning percentage record looks like.
Number four.
The Chicago Bears. Woo, Matt Nagy, sit on the sideline, man. Justin Fields came to the party. It wasn't him that lost the game for the Chicago Bears. He played pretty good football, man. He showed you why they moved up to get him. But, Jay, it wasn't a coincidence that Matt Nagy wasn't there and the kid played some pretty good football, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Number five.
Number five, Odell Beckham. One target, or better yet, one catch for 6 yards. If I'm OBJ, I walk in there this morning and I say, hey, man, what the hell? What y'all going to do? Y'all going to have me just – what are y'all going to do? Because I can't help y'all if y'all can't help me help you. I can't just sit there and be a cardboard cutout. So make a decision before Tuesday. Either y'all going to help me help us or y'all going to move me so I go help somebody else. That's what I would say to OBJ. I mean, that's what I would say to the Browns if I was OBJ. But if you sit and wait, maybe things turn around, and then all of a sudden he gets to pick his poison when he becomes a free agent at the end of the year.
You know,
those are the key observations.
The key observations is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. What was staggering, because you know the Belichick coaches haven't done well, but Key, looking at the numbers we threw up on ESPN too, Texans head coach
Bill O'Brien.
If you take Bill O'Brien out of the picture, that is unbelievable how much losing they've done. Zero. Take O'Brien off, and there are zero playoff wins and maybe a 300 winning percentage.
And Brian Flores is heading in the wrong direction.
Hey, can we have someone do the math on everyone but Bill O'Brien's win-loss record? It's unreal. Like you know they haven't done well, but when you look at the numbers, it's staggering.
Key, the one thing, and we probably shouldn't waste any time on this at all, but I still think it's fascinating on your observation because you know I like to add one every single week. Just watching Detroit not score a touchdown, watching Jared Goff just be that abysmal against the Eagles put up 44 points. It almost confirms that I don't think they're going to win the game this year.
Yeah,
it's bad, man. That's
you
bad.
Got a coach who was.
I want him to win a game. I don't want to see somebody go 0-17. I played with Dan Campbell. I was coached by Anthony Lynn. I played with Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator. I don't want to see him go 0-17, but it certainly, you know, it certainly looked that way. It's not looking up. Let's just put it that it's not looking bright for them at all. I hate to see it every single week, but. Hey, man, you got into this business, so this is what happens. Yeah.
So Dan Campbell is going to be a player on a winless team in a 16-game season and the head coach of a winless seven. I mean, it's brutal. Oh. By the way, okay, here's the final – I know, brutal. Here's the final tally for Belichick assistants other than Bill O'Brien. 0 playoff wins and a 113-195 record with one tie. 113-195, you're almost losing twice as much as you win. 1-2, basically, for every 3 games. That's unbelievable.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, all phone guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So the Bears may have lost to the 49ers yesterday. Justin Fields looked pretty good. The notable missing piece of the Bears team was Matt Nagy wasn't on the sidelines. He has COVID-19. No Matt Nagy. Fields looks pretty good. Are we reaching here? Because they did lose the game. Here is the Bears quarterback on his performance yesterday.
I think we did pretty good. I think we did a good job on third down. And I think an area to improve is just, you know, scoring touchdowns in the red zone instead of kicking field goals. But I thought our offense did a great job of, you know, keeping the drives going and executing on third down. So I would say we did pretty good today.
So are we reaching here, Jay?
Before we even get into Justin Fields, which is a different story, Key, I wanted to bring up one more point, just because you know I keep saying this, right?
Yeah.
Applying pressure, and I don't talk like that. Don't say yeah like that. Yeah. So, third quarter, critical play, goal line play, okay? Jimmy Garoppolo and these guys score on the ensuing play, but there were 10 men on the field for the defense, okay? Critical mistake by Chris Tabor, who special teams coordinator, but is acting head coach for that time. Post-presser, watching the game, right?
Here comes a communication
post-presser,
point.
A reporter asked him about the situation. He was direct. He was succinct. He didn't say he had to go back and watch the tape. He owned it very quickly, and that's on me, and we move forward. It was just such a dichotomy of the way I've seen press conferences handled before by Matt Nagy. Now, that's just the coaching aspect of it. The Justin Fields, how he looked more comfortable on the field. You know, he was more of himself, best game pretty much of his young career thus far. You know, I don't know how much of that is without having Matt Nagy in the field, but the combination of both those things together, it makes you as a Chicago Bears fan sit there and say, okay, I kind of like this direction more so than the other direction. That's just me.
Yeah, I don't – press conferences, I don't care about press conferences, right?
Okay.
I just care about how the young man performed yesterday without Nagy there. You know, is it a coincidence? I mean, look, he had shy under 300 yards of total offense. He had the one turnover. But for the most part, when you think about it, he played pretty good football. He played winning football. And I'm sure once they go back and look at the tape, they'll see some things that they left out there that he could have probably hit on, and he'll be better for it. You know, Matt Nagy's just got to continue to keep chopping at it, got to look at the film, look at the tape, see what it was that made Justin play at the level that he played at, and try to implement that going forward. And that's really all it is. This is not an assault, all-out assault on Matt Nagy at all. I don't want to turn it into that.
Well, I have a question about what Jay points out, though, Key, Because to me, I also think like, wait a minute. Who cares how he relates to us in the media? What's that got to do with the team, right? Is there, though, a correlation? Because clearly, I think in Jay's experience, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, there seems to be a correlation at least between the way a coach deals with the media, whether he's a good or bad communicator, whether he's straightforward or kind of mealy-mouthed, and the kind of performance he gets from his team, the kind of coach he is. Because Jay is, to me, making that connection. In your experience, is there any connection there?
Well, what I would say is, based on the little bit of information that I get out of Chicago, is the players like him in the locker room. His communication with the players is different than his communication with the media. You know, that's all I can really go off of is actually the players people seem to think that the players like him in the locker room.
So, Jay, does that change your mind at all? If aren't there some coaches who maybe they're not perfect with the media, but that does not reflect the way they communicate with their team? Are you drawing inferences that maybe shouldn't be drawn here?
Every player is happy with him in the locker room?
Well, I'm sure not every player is happy with every coach.
That's not the case. So, like, you know, I hear what Key is saying, and I'm not turning this into a Matt Nagy assault, but when you're in Chicago, when you have a quarterback with the way everything has happened this year, it's something that we're constantly going to talk about. We talked about it before the game even occurred on Sunday last week, that what happens if Justin Fields plays his best game, even though they didn't win, while Matt Nagy's not there. Well, that has happened. And there are things that, even though they've been done one way by Matt Nagy, when you see it done a different way, it just gives you that pause. Now, it may not be something alarming to Key, but even the fact that we're thinking about it, that we're talking about it, makes it a story.
Jay just told on himself a little bit, Key.
About what? What
just told on himself a little bit. When Jay goes, are you sure every player is happy with him in the locker room?
Well, no, every player is never going to be happy. Every player is never going to be happy.
But you know,
Key,
this is when this whole narrative starts. Like, yeah, the players like him in the locker room.
Jay's talking to someone.
I'm like, okay.
Jay's talking to someone.
I didn't say every single player because I'm smarter than that. But people inside the locker room, we've had people on that's in Chicago covering the Bears that actually said that, in fact, that players in the locker room, they like him. They just, for whatever reason, we look at him and go, man, what are you talking about? But I also understand that sometimes when you deal with the media, we could tend to be petty and pick apart every single thing that you do because we want it a certain way when you stand up there and you talk to us, and that's not the way Matt Nagy has been giving it to us. In terms of the coincidence that Nagy's gone, Justin plays better than he has is interesting, but Matt Nagy now has to, like I said, he now has to go and see what it was that made Justin play that way and implement that into whatever game plan it is moving forward. Don't go back to doing the same things. Whoever was calling the plays, whoever coached him up, whoever was in his ear telling him to do certain things, they need to continue to have that person do that.
A lot of different players.
Because you know, Max,
yeah,
there is levels to this.
A lot of players on a football team, a lot of different agendas, and they talk to a lot of different people. If I was a fan listening to this, I'd think, Key and Jay are talking to different people. That's what I would think if I was a fan listening to this. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, why one young QB may be feeling all the pressure all of a sudden, coming right up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.